This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on red-hot-mama.com. This is episode number 63 on June 30th of 2007. We're here at the Red Hot Mama household. We are very excited to have with us some guests from Cardinal Nation, which, you know, is not their fault. When you're born into Cardinal Nation, I think that there's just not a lot you can do about it. But in any event, we've got the illustrious Belly Scratcher and her proxy. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very excited to be here.
Oh, we're excited to have you. Oh, and the correct technical staff is here, too. Welcome
to
the show, Johnny.
Yeah, what am I? Chopped liver here. Thank you.
Yes. So we've been over breakfast, over waffles this morning. We were talking about baseball, and it's just a situation where neither of our teams are very good.
That's putting it mildly.
We've been, like, you know, kind of when we started this, but like two seasons ago, Cardinals were really great. Kind of last season, the Reds were making a run for it at the beginning of it, and they were looking a lot better. And this year, it's just kind of hopeless.
All around bad.
There's no hope.
Maybe we can tell the rest of the NL Central we fell down the stairs or walked into a wall.
Because
we've got a big black eye right now.
The rest of the NL Central isn't doing that hot either, except for the Brewers. I mean, you look at the standings. You got the Brewers, and then you got
the Cubs.
The
team that shall not be named.
Yeah.
I'll name everyone.
See, that gives words power.
We can't.
I don't want to empower the North Siders.
Name them Ed. Howie. Name them Howie. It's nice to name.
Yeah.
You know, that takes away their power. Anyway.
Hey, Howie.
Yeah. Swing Howie. Collapse, Howie.
It'll happen.
Yes.
It'll happen. It's inevitable.
I was listening to the radio Reds broadcast yesterday, and Marty was talking about the Cubs, saying that he thought they were the one that had the best chance of catching the Brewers. And I actually don't agree. I think it would actually be the Cardinals, despite as crappy as they can look.
Yeah.
They just win.
If we keep picking up pictures off of people's scrap heaps, eventually we'll be mining for gold.
The Reds just released Victor Santos, so there's another mediocre reliever from the Reds
turn into a frontline starter.
Yeah, exactly.
And pencil in for 11 wins.
Like Wellemeyer and Looper and
Brad Thompson.
Seriously, what's up with Brad Thompson? What in the heck?
Aside from his boyish good looks, he's always wanted to be a starter. So.
He was a starter in the minors and had a very long scoreless
50-plus inning scoreless streak.
Yeah,
wow.
set a minor league record, and as we all know, minor league records translate into major league success.
Absolutely,
it's been shown time and time again.
Yes, irrefutable. But you know, he was in the pen because we had Carpenter and Mulder and other people in the rotation, and then they all broke or left.
How's Carpenter doing?
Very close.
He threw off the mound, and I believe he's doing a rehab assignment. He's down in Florida.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to work his way up through rehab, and he could be ready in the next 2 weeks.
He'll probably be activated after the All-Star break.
That could really help.
Which makes a very interesting decision for the management, because now they have to decide.
And they've been
who they keep
picking
out of the
up
people
starting
that,
pitchers.
Tomooka,
like crazy. Yeah, probably not.
Minor leagues. He's never coming out.
Yeah, and then we've got Kip Wells, who was just sent to the bullpen. Looper's coming back pretty soon, but he's a career reliever.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm not surprised to see him get injured.
No.
I think Thompson might have. Well, if he's been a starter in the minors, that's a little bit better.
But they don't seem to have any problem, just people back and forth. I know. Starter, reliever, and it's all good. How does that work? Because, you know, I may be answering my own question here, but but they, you know, Danny Graves was the closer, and then they gave him a stint as starter, and he blamed it for his being bad like the rest of his career. Oh, that time a starter really screwed me up. Of course, that may just be a Graves thing.
I think that was just him
was kind of a lame
finding answer. An excuse, because his first year after being a starter, the first half of the year, as closer again, he was lights out.
Yeah.
He something happened to him that was not really
got
his started.
Girlfriend pregnant.
But a super huge
that happened to Jim Edmonds, though, and he had the worst season of his career up until this season of his career.
Yeah.
And he's on contract for a next season of his career.
What the heck? Why do general managers do that?
Because he's been there so long. And
plus, it's other people's money.
Yeah. And people would be really mad if they let Edmonds go someplace else to finish his career.
And
so.
Plus, he's got
to
be good. People wear his jersey.
That's how baseball goes, though.
And he's not even like a lifelong Cardinal.
No. But he's been there.
And it was
for
St. Louis is now Los Angeles Angels, East.
Yeah.
I think we have now with Percival 6 former Angels.
Oh my goodness.
At least.
Well, and there's a goodly number of ex Reds on there.
There
does anyone
was. Too soon.
Too soon. Does anyone come up through the minor league system, or is it?
Yeah. This year, Reyes
we have
and
Brendan Ryan.
We have Brendan Ryan,
who got a naked hug.
Baseman.
Got to naked hug his manager in AAA when he got the call up.
His towel fell off when he was hugging his manager.
Ooh, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I hope he wasn't happy to see him.
Maybe
he could blame it on the call up. He was happy to get called up.
Then we've got Ryan Ludwig.
Well, maybe he was happy to see it. Just depends on what he's got to show, I suppose.
Yeah. But Ryan Ludwig has been around.
He's a career minor leaguer type. That
he's a quadruple A player.
Found his power. And when he did find his power at the major league level, he socks the ball pretty darn hard. Mm-hmm. But the problem is he tries to do that every at bat.
He's a fifth outfielder type.
So it's like, hey, check that out. That was an off-speed pitch that I just tried to swing through, and I could have swung twice at it. I swung so early.
I think that's it as far as people we've brought up. Oh, like some relievers, I guess.
Troy Cate,
Andy Cavazos.
Who's got bug eyes? Look at his profile picture on MLB.com. He's got bug eyes.
Do you remember
Cavazos?
Randy Keesler?
Yes.
He had bug eyes too.
He looked like a Muppet.
He also looks
scoped.
He pitched
a couple games.
Like he belonged in a bullpen or a pitching staff.
Yeah. He had a nasty scar. We saw him one time at the.
He was in the bullpen with the bats when they were in Indy, and we were sitting by the bullpen on the visitor side.
Yeah, and it's just a bench right next to the front row of the crowd. So he throws his arm back, leaning it on the back of it. And you see this nasty scar
it's
right.
It's probably
by
Tommy John.
Yeah,
yes.
It was.
Yeah.
It was in shocking relief.
So let that be a lesson, though, for all the kids listening. Just because you get Tommy John doesn't mean you're going to be a frontline starter.
In the bigs.
You could be riding the bench in AAA.
In Indianapolis.
Or below.
I think that he was not even, he didn't even do that well with the bats, but at least that night. That night they called in like every reliever on the bench, and they just kept leaving one by one.
Well, they're preparing them for the majors. Preparing them for the big club with Tony when he. It's going to get to the point where he brings in somebody for one specific pitch and then sends them off to the showers.
Parade of relievers. Yeah, we went to a game earlier this season, and it was like a little league game. Everybody played.
Wow.
Yeah, there was no bench left. And we were playing with a short bench to begin with.
Yeah. And it's not like it was.
Somehow it works out. That's what I don't understand. How does it work out so often?
I don't know.
The Russo always seems to have a decent bullpen at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot understand it because Naren just cannot handle bullpen, and he will warm up every pitcher
every
night. They don't all pitch.
So he dry humps them. That's a technical term.
Klein term. He got. Tony asked him to warm up. It must have been 2004.
This was the year that he flipped off Tony from the dugout.
Yeah,
from the bullpen.
Yeah. And he complained to the newspaper that he was dry humped.
Wow.
So you're learning all sorts of new vocabulary.
This is very, very educational. That's the. But I always imagine that he's trying to do a La Russa, and he's like, oh, wow. it works out to
doesn't
bring
he
in every,
also,
every pitcher.
Doesn't he also pull a Dusty Baker and grind? Like, does he grind arms? I know that when...
I was going to say, is this like bump and grind? Like, after the meat. Dry
humping? No.
Meat grinding.
This is meat grinding, where
you leave somebody
you put
in
a
for
lot of pitches.
120 pitches.
Yeah,
and
so he'll
does that for Arroyo and Hooray.
The pitcher abuse scale.
Mm-hmm. And he did it for, like, Homer Bailey for one of his starts. He
oh, really?
Up over
100. Oh, come on, kid. You can throw 200.
Homer Bailey, he had, like, a great first six... Not great. I think it's like 3 runs in 6 innings.
So good by Red standards.
It's just fine for a rookie, you know?
Yeah.
His second start. So
welcome
it's like,
to
okay,
the bigs.
Don't send him back out for the 7th. He's done. He's like at 90 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
Sends him back out.
Gets his ass handed to him. The rest is history. That's the way of the narrative. His other big thing is bench usage. It's like, you know, we got Javi Valentin up. He's a really good, pinch hitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by pinch hitter standards, I don't even know what kinds of records he holds or whatever, but he gets a lot of home runs in pinch hitting. And but it's like Naren's so concerned about saving him up until the end of the game. He never ends up using him. He doesn't end up actually seeing any playing time.
Using the closer exclusively in the 9th inning when that may not be the most crucial point of the game.
Well,
it would be more like
not using the closer in the 9th inning because maybe you'll go into extras and you'll need him in the 10th.
Yeah, and that implies having a closer implies that you're going to have a lead.
You're better than that.
And like they save Javi all the time, but
for what?
Let him. Going into the season, he was the backup catcher, and now he's basically been. They got a third catcher who is terrible. And Javi's been relegated
we
to pinch
know
hitter.
Terrible catchers.
Yeah.
We were without ours for about a month and a half, and it was
back,
brutal.
Isn't
he? Mm-hmm. Came back
yesterday. He is back, yes.
Yeah, we had Kelly Stinnett.
We swung a deal with the Dodgers for a backup.
I remember Kelly Stinnett from his Red States.
He was a solid backup.
We got the Dodgers.
Wouldn't want him starting all the time, though.
No, he did hit a home run in his first game as a Cardinal.
Oh, that must have been.
It was. Let me tell you, it was magic. St. Louis was ready to run out to our little Redbird stores and gobble up Stinnett merchandise. They couldn't print the T-shirts fast enough.
It's coming. Wait for it.
Yeah, and they probably literally couldn't because, you know, once the passion falls off, then it's too late.
Yeah.
We had an interesting phenomenon a couple of years ago with a kid by the name of Bohart. And Bohart mania just swept St. Louis. Short, scrappy white guy, second baseman. He was Eckstein before we had Eckstein, except the talent disparity between those two. Like, there's already a pretty big size discrepancy between Eckstein and major leaguers, and then there's the talent disparity. I think that, you know, somebody said that Eckstein makes the most of what little he has, and it makes sense. He gets the most out of his ability, and he plays at a consistently high level. Then there's Bohart, who came up and was just tearing the cover off the ball. Not a power hitter, but he could hit for contact. He was a contact hitter, and he could hit for average, it appeared, until pitchers got the book on him the second time around, and they would throw him off speed. They would throw a lot of sliders
straight
at him.
Straight ball he hit very much.
Yes. Curveball, not so much, not so far.
Doesn't go straight.
So, St. Louis, that like the first
month
or so that he was up, he was just fan favorite. He could do no wrong. He, you know, people were making their own Bohart T-shirts.
Did they have hearts on them?
I bet they did.
You gotta have heart.
Yeah, he embodied all that was wrong with St. Louis baseball at the time. and then when he started to fall by the wayside, nobody cared.
Yeah.
Love him and leave him.
We are fickle.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true. It's always so valuable to have a player whose name invites punts.
Mm.
You know, it is great to have a heart. You can't. Gotta have a heart. You know, it was done. In fact, we may well see...
Get her done.
On the
that makes
done.
Me want to jump off
that
a bridge.
That ball is done.
Yeah. Well, it's no worse than Hawk Harrelson.
Oh.
With the he-yow.
I hate that guy.
With the what?
He-yow.
Have you ever listened to a White Sox game on the television?
Uh-uh.
No.
Their broadcaster, Hawk Harrelson, has everybody running to the bathroom to gargle bleach and slice their wrists open. And He's the worst broadcaster in the history of professional sports.
Have you heard Tom Brennan?
There's MacArthur.
Hawk Harrelson is just brutal. His little signature catchphrase is whenever somebody hits a home run, he looks at it and goes, "He gone!"
Strikeout.
Oh, strikeout?
It's a strikeout.
Well, what is it when somebody hits a home run? Is it the...
I don't know. But he gone.
He's the guy that's taters and wagons and awesome. Ducks on ponds and tater balls and stuff like that.
What was
just
the
sucks.
One we heard Jeff Brantley use yesterday? It was when the game was over. Or was it when the game was over? Or
it was the call
it was
in the bottom of the
done.
Inning. In the extra inning game against the Astros, they had a runner on third, and the Astros were up, and all it took was one run because it was a tie game. And there was a hit to right center field gap that was obviously going to score the run and end the game, and Jeff Brantley said something like, "Kiss the baby."
Kiss the baby, it's over.
What?
That doesn't even make any sense.
That's pretty much Jeff Brantley. He doesn't feel the need to make sense.
Kiss the baby.
Kiss the baby, it's done.
Oh, the Cowboy. Brewers TV people are bad. The Mariners guy, I found annoying, and he's senile.
Those Cardinals guys are really bad too. The
Our
Al Habrowski guy.
Yeah, the TV.
Hongo.
Oh, and then we just one of our local stations got the Sunday games, and they're broadcasting them in high def, and it's all lovely. Except they're trotting out this guy who used to call games for them back in the 50s.
Wow.
Yeah, and he hasn't really done much since.
You would think that being in St. Louis, you would get to know your baseball team. He calls David Eckstein.
Yeah.
And he does a lot of other annoying things. Like, he was calling the White Sox Park. He called it the
White Sox
Park, White Sox Stadium, instead of, you call it Comiskey. That would be acceptable. You could call it anything. U.S. Cellular, the Cell, whatever. That's fine. But White Sox Park, where the White Sox are enjoying a lead at White Sox Park.
That's just lazy.
Yeah.
I'm surprised at how little so many broadcasters seem to know about the sport when you think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do nothing but
watch.
And mm-hmm. talk about baseball. Shouldn't you have absorbed something from this by now?
Maybe they're just hired for their pretty voices.
Maybe.
And their ability to overspeak.
I'm Tom.
I will paint with
that's
hyperbole.
Tom
so you may
does
see.
That bugs the heck out of me. He like just doesn't talk. It's always, "Welcome to Great American Ballpark," and that's the whole game. I'm like, stop it!
It's tiring.
Except occasionally, he starts to slip up and starts to talk.
Yeah,
like
it's like he gets tired towards the end of an inning. It's like, what? What is that? A real voice?
Yeah, then he realizes it. Oh, sorry.
So is that all we got? We're getting ready to head off.
Yeah, take off for Cincinnati, and I'm going to stop by some get some skyline on the way out there. And
Cincinnati chili.
Check out the stadium. It'll be the first time I'm visiting Great American Ballpark. We'll be mm-hmm. interested to see how it compares with other ones in your experience. Yes.
I'll have to take up the duty of looking at Park Factor and all those other cool statsy type things. I'm just kidding. I don't have the time to do that. I want to enjoy myself and enjoy the game.
There's liability to be home runs.
Yeah,
it does.
How far do you have to hit one to get it out into the water behind
into the
park?
Water? That's only like, ever been done once.
It's well over 600.
Was it done
feet.
Once?
It was done
once. Yes.
That's only
very
been
good.
Done
see,
once.
Do you see what I did there?
You see how easy and tempting it is. You can understand how easy it is.
It's like Bartolo Colon.
Yes.
Though his puns that you see are kind of gross. just a little.
Well, he is asking for it.
Okay.
I think that the one that did go into the water didn't exactly go into the water.
No,
it landed on some driftwood.
Well,
and I believe it rolled there.
Yeah, it landed on the road and then rolled.
Rolled out.
So it's a bit.
So it's on the banks of the Ohio.
He said a 535 footer, and I think that was that one. And
it would
to actually pop it in the water. It would
be 600 to 650 feet.
Wow.
Which
would not be a small task.
I don't know what the home run record length is, but there aren't many 600-foot home runs.
No, no. Although on the Wii...
Yes, on my Nintendo
Wii,
I caught one exactly 600.
Well, do they have Great American? Because then you could...
No.
It's like Nintendo State. It was some Japanese. I ruled the J ball. It was at the Nippon Ham Fighters Complex, I'm sure.
Sounds like fun.
Which
you
is an actual team.
Road trip.
Yeah.
Just quick drive to Japan.
No problem. We have to get the special water car, though.
Yes.
Or maybe we can hitch some cargo.
Yeah. Hitch a ride with a cargo ship.
Smuggle us into Japan. Let me pick up a DDR machine over
there.
There you go.
That'll fit in the car.
Well, if we're on the cargo ship, it's fine.
You're right. It'd fit in the car.
There's a lot of things we can come back with then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, on that note, we probably had to pack it up and get going. So we'll be at the game. We'll probably put something together from there, and we'll be looking forward to seeing the Reds do well. So... What? Hang in there?
Go Reds!
Go Cardinals!
That'll be edited out.
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded weekly in a land where the impossible can happen, like the Cubs winning 95 games. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.